because a certain person was in a certain position, that would work in your favor, that would work out to be your good. Maybe it was a good buddy who got promoted ahead of you to supervisor or whatever it may be. And we thought, well, here, I got somebody a little bit higher upstairs now, and definitely then I can expect that things will go a little bit better or nicely for me according to what is your heart's desire. And that's a nice thought. It's logical. It's nice to have someone who cares about our interests occupy a place of authority. It's a nice thought, but it doesn't always work out that way, as we know. For instance, we might have a member of parliament, an MP that we elect to go into parliament, and we think, okay, well, now he's going to seek our interest, but then quite often, for the sake of making sure that they get votes to get back in, whatever it may be, there might be compromises and things of that nature. And so we learn very quickly that earthly representatives, people we think is in authority and this will be act in our favor, that doesn't always go so well. Earthly representatives don't often deliver. The good news is that it is our confidence this evening as the Christian church that we have one who sits not merely in a place of authority as a supervisor on earth or even a member of parliament or whatever it may be, but who sits in the most incomparable position of authority in all heaven and earth, and who has promised to seek our interests and who always will. We confess in our Apostles' Creed that our Lord Jesus Christ sits at God's right hand. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. As the church continues to engage in the work of the kingdom here on earth, as we experience spiritual warfare, as we wrestle, every one of us, with all kinds of temptations and strife, as we face the opposition of the world to God's word and the hatred of Christ's church, our comfort is that we have one who sits at the right hand of God the Father himself. In theological terms, the scholars speak of the session of Christ, and that simply means that Christ is seated there in a place of rule, in a court of law. When the judge comes in, they'll say, and he sits everybody down, they'll say the court is now in session, and that's the same idea. Jesus Christ is now sitting at the right hand of God, and so it's called his heavenly session. And so our theme, as we look at Lord's Day 19 this afternoon, is this: the church militant. And by the church, by the term militant, boys and girls, we're talking about the church on earth fighting the good fight of faith. The church militant rejoices in the comfort of Christ's heavenly session. We'll see three reasons for our rejoicing. First of all, his present status as our king. Secondly, his ongoing grace as our benefactor. And third, his future return as judge. But we see in the first place that Christ's session at the right hand of God is our comfort because of his present status as king. In Lord's Day 19, question and answer 50, we were asked, why is it added and sits at the right hand of God? Our answer was, Christ ascended into heaven to manifest himself there as head of his church through whom the Father governs all things. First of all, what does it mean that Christ sits at the right hand of God? What's the significance of that? Well, it means, biblically speaking, that he has been given a position and status of supreme honor and authority. In fact, all power and authority belong to him and has been bestowed upon him in his exaltation, that is, his return to heaven, his ascension. A crude analogy, though not quite the same, it falls apart at some point, is that a boss may have a trusted employee. And when they speak of that person, they may say, that's my right-hand man, right? That's where this comes from. Far exceedingly, the confession that Christ sits at God the Father's right hand refers to the fact that he shares in the Father's glory. He shares in the Father's authority. He shares in the Father's power. He occupies a unique place of honor. In the scriptures, we may know this, that the right hand always has special significance. We see it, for instance, when Jacob blesses his sons, and especially the sons of Joseph, in Genesis 48, and he places his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, giving him to him the right of the firstborn. Psalm 45 places the bride of the king at his right hand. In 1 Kings 2, we have an incident recorded in which Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, goes to visit her son, and he has a throne brought in and sits his mother at his right hand in a place of great honor and privilege. And so it should come as no surprise that God says to his Christ, as we sang in Psalm 110, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And Jesus, we remember, corrected the thinking of the Jews of his day by declaring that David said these words not about himself, but of the Son of God. David was prophesying of the Messiah, the one who would come, the true King of Israel, the truly anointed one. And the apostles later on pick up the refrain,